Hello and welcome again to the Issues of Life. I am your host, Pastor Kelvin Muhammad, and I am so glad that you are with us today. I bring greetings from our King, and I bring the greetings of our King to you. And I declare today that He will indeed establish His kingdom in your heart. At this special time of the year, some of you may be busy shopping around, getting what you need to get. But I want to indeed declare that there is a King who has come into the earth, not just a baby, but indeed a King. And He wants to establish His kingdom and His kingdom purposes in your heart. I invite you to be with us at Apostolic City Church. We have two meetings on Sunday morning. Our first meeting is at 8 a.m. and our second is at 10:30. We are located in Coover, upstairs Royal Castle, Southern Main Road, Coover. And you can call us, of course, at 636-1307. I read today from the book of Luke chapter 1 and verse 30. It says there, "Then the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great, and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end.' And Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be, since I do not know a man?' And the angel answered and said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that holy thing which is to be born will be called the Son of God.'" And verse 37, he says, "For with God nothing will be impossible." And Mary says, "Behold, a maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. This is a story normally read at this time of the year, but I declare to you there is much more than meets the eye in this account. There is a present understanding of what God is saying to the church today. For there is a Mary church that God is overshadowing by the power of the Holy Spirit. There's a church that is conceiving the Lord Jesus Christ in a fresh and in a new dimension. You see, the Bible tells us that Mary found favor, but I would like to think that favor has found her. For indeed, this favor is not what we deserve. This favor finds us. And what we are giving birth to in this time, in this age, must be called Jesus. Ultimately, we may name it with different moves, fate, prophetic, whatever we name it, but ultimately it must be called Jesus. And Mary complains, she says, as the angel makes this pronouncement over her life, she says, "I do not know a man." Because Mary, the truth is, in this move of God, we do not need a man's effort. In other words, we do not need the effort or the work or the labor of man. It is going to be an act of the grace of God. The angel says, "So the Holy Spirit will come upon you." She complains, I know not a man, but the angel says, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you." Now that's the contrast. She says, "I do not have a man." He says, "The Holy Spirit." And that is God's pattern, and that is God's answer, "For I do not know a man." And I'm speaking to many today who feel like if they do not have a man, they do not have man's effort to help them. They know not a man to help them in this business or this contract or this domestic affair or this marital problem. I know not a man. I know no contact to help me with this loan I'm trying to get. But don't you know the Holy Spirit will come upon you. And not only will He come upon you, He will come upon those who you're dealing with. Because that which is going to be born of you will be called the Son of God. What God is giving birth to in the earth is going to be called deity. And I declare to you, you see, this move of God is not something you can cut and paste. It must be born of you. It must be conceived in our spiritual minds, our spiritual wombs. And we must give birth to this thing. "For with God nothing shall be impossible." I declare to you, my friends, that God appears to Mary in a non-threatening environment, in a non-church environment. It does not appear to me that Mary is in church, nor does it indicate in Scripture that she was praying, but that the angel appears to her. You see, I believe that in this visitation of Mary, there are some principles that we see concerning the very heart and nature and even the desire of God. God is visiting people outside of the walls of what we call church. He's looking for people with virgin minds. He's looking for people who are not contaminated by religious spirits or religious ideals. You see, my friends, God is visiting people in the marketplace. He's visiting people in the business environment. He's visiting people in the everyday activities of life. And he's saying unto them, favor has found you. This is so much unlike Zacharias, which we would look at another time, because Zacharias was visited in the temple. Zacharias was married. Zacharias was praying. Yet Zacharias could not receive this visitation of God. But Mary did. Mary accepted it. In fact, Mary says, let's go for it. Mary says, let's accept this thing. Let's give birth to this thing. Even though it meant her life would have been at stake, her marriage, her future marriage would have been at stake. She would have been thrown out of the temple, thrown out of the church, thrown out of her family, disinherited, a number of other side effects. But Mary says, I'm willing to do it. God is willing, God is looking for people who are willing to take a risk. You see, my friends, there is no way you can give birth to anything that is great unless you're willing to take a risk. Faith is a risk, and the risk of riskless living is perhaps the greatest risk of all. Zacharias was unwilling to leave the comfort of his religion. Burning incense that day was more important than hearing what the word of the Lord was. Burning incense was more important than moving from his comfort zone. For Zacharias to believe, he had to leave his present mental position so that he can accommodate this new thing that God was talking about. Nonetheless, the word of the Lord comes and God finds someone who will believe. First of all, he appears in the church to visit Zacharias. And when Zacharias says, I can't believe it, God says, okay, I'll go to Mary. I'll find somebody else who will believe. And he does. He finds a virgin. He finds somebody who is betrothed. Somebody who has more passion than they have religion. The angel Gabriel comes to him and he releases the word of God. The word of God is described as the sperma of God's word. She gets pregnant with the sperma of God's word, not the sperm of a man. She gets pregnant with the sperma of his word. And when Mary becomes pregnant, she's pregnant with something that's divine, something that has an eternal dimension. You see, my friends, what we are giving birth to in the earth will be called Jesus. Mary receives the word of the Lord. And we all like to receive prophetic words. I like to receive prophetic words. I'm sure you do as well. Prophetic words are important. They give direction. They give insight. They help to explain where we've come from. And they give guidance to where we're going. So thank God for personal prophecy. But you see, in Revelation 19, I read where the spirit of prophecy is the very testimony of Jesus Christ. What it says there, what is indicated there is that in the prophetic word that we receive is the very nature, the very heart of Christ, of God himself. You see, what we are really giving birth to is an expression of the mind, will, the heart, the purposes, the intentions of God. What God is after in personal prophecy is more than just to tell you that you'll get a new car or a new house or a new church. So often we have reduced personal prophecy or the prophetic word to what can God add to me today? When will I become a millionaire? And he will do that. I'm sure he will. But you must understand that in that germ, in that sperma of the word, there is something called the Son of God. There's something called the nature of God. It is Jesus Christ, the blessed Savior. In that prophetic word, God is after his heart and his mind and his will in the earth. Now the Lord has appeared like the Shunammite woman. He's appeared on our doorsteps with a box of chocolate-coated prophecies. And he has baited us and he has caused us to run after him. And we run after personal prophecy. And like I say, there's nothing wrong with receiving personal prophecy. But you've got to get some perspective on this, because what the Lord really wants is your heart. The purpose of the prophet is more than just to give you a prophetic word. What God is after is a prophetic people. God's purpose is bigger. He has a bigger purpose in mind. And in the book of Jeremiah, you see something very clearly. In Jeremiah 31 and the 33rd verse, God says, "But this is a covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people." He says, "No more shall anyone come and ask and say and teach his neighbor, that is, and everybody, every man his brother, saying, 'Know the Lord,' for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and their sin. I will remember no more." God declares very clearly that in the new covenant, which I believe we're still understanding, He is really writing His laws in our heart. He wants a people who operate from an internal dimension and not operate from a mosaic system where we are regulated by external church rules. And if we break the church rules, we get thrown out of the church, or we feel we're going to hell if we broke a church rule. And much of our rules really is based on tradition rather than the Word of God. But what He's saying is that I will write my law in your hearts so that we will get to the place where we are not going to keep running asking, "Do you have a word for me? Do you have a word for me? What is the word of the Lord for me?" But we're going to get to the place where we will become the word of the Lord. I want to repeat that. What God is after is a church who have become the word of the Lord. We have come and we have become the expression of the heart and the mind and the will and the purposes of God. We have become an expression of God's heart and God's desire. You see, we are not going to keep running and asking. We will become the expression of God Himself in the earth. We will become the word of the Lord. No, I say it this way. If He is my Logos and I am born of Him and I have come out of Him and I have received the sperm of His word, if He is my Logos, then I am His Rhema. I am a Rhema of God, and so are you. And if God says in His word that His word shall not return void unto Him, I declare today that you are a rhema from God and that you shall not return void. You are a word, my friends. You're more than just John Doe or whoever you are. You're more than just Krishna or Sita or whatever they call you. You are a word from God. Do you understand that? You have received the incorruptible seed of His word in your heart. You have received it. Just like Mary conceived and gave flesh to this word, we are giving flesh to this word. You have become the word of God. You are a rhema. You are a sent word. And I declare to you that in that word that God has put in you is success. You are sent and you shall not return void. You have been sent into your family, into your school, into your community, into your neighborhood, and you have been sent into the earth. You are a sent one. You are a rhema. You shall not return void. I declare to you, my friends, that you shall not return void. You will return rather with success. You will return with victory. You will return with divine health. You will return as an overcomer because you are a prophetic people. A prophetic people is more than somebody who prophesies or looks for a word. They have become the word of the Lord, the expression of the heart and the mind and the will of God in the earth. You see, my friends, what God is after, what He's looking for, is Himself in the earth. He is creating His nature and His image in us. And I have a feeling, and I declare to you, that one day God is going to look down. Jesus will look down and He will see His image in the earth. He will see His very image in the earth, and He will probably say to Gabriel, "It's time for me to go back because I see myself in the earth." And I declare that you are a rhema of God. If you are a rhema, you shall not fail. If you are a rhema, you shall not be defeated. If you are a rhema, in fact, when Mary says, "Be it unto me according to your word," what she was, that word for word there in the Greek is the word rhema. She says, "I receive your rhema." And I speak a rhema of divine health to you. I speak a rhema of divine healing. And I declare you have become the word of the Lord. You say to me, "I do not know a man." And I say to you, you do not need a man. What you need is the Holy Ghost. The angel says, "What I am doing in the earth right now, I do not need a man to help you with this. All I need is your cooperation. All I need is your understanding. All I need is for you to say, 'Yes, be it unto me.' For indeed, It is the Holy Ghost that will overshadow you. You will come under his shadow. I want to bless you today, and I encourage you to be with us Sunday morning. We have, again, two meetings. Our first meeting is at 8 a.m. and our second is at 10:30. Don't forget, on All Year's Night, we meet at 9:30. And we will be there in the p.m. And you can call us at 636-1307. Remember, 2003 is the year for maturity. It is the year of being free. Come and join us. Call us at 636-1307. We are located in Coover, upstairs, Royal Castle, Southern Main Road, Coover. You can call us at 636-1307. God bless you. Have a great day. Remember, you are the manifestation of God in the earth.